United States versus an address in Skokie. Mr. Duesberger? Duesberger?
Did you call me to the podium?
Yes.
Thank you. My name is Roger Duesberger. I'm the court-appointed counsel for claimant appellant Richard Connors in this appeal. May it please the court. As an administrative point, I'd like to remind the court that exhibits to Mr. Connors' reply supporting a motion to dismiss were not found in the court file and so were refiled and retransmitted to this court on July 24, 2009 as document 177, and they apply to issue 2. On no later than March of 1996, the United States Customs Service believed that Mr. Connors was running an illegal Cuban cigar smuggling business out of the defendant home, which they believed he used to aid and facilitate that business. Customs formed this belief based on two pieces of information, or information from two sources. Mr. Connors' ex-wife, who provided information to them about his business and his use of the defendant home, and Customs was independently conducting their own surveillance. So by March 30th, 1996, Customs believed that Mr. Connors was frequently traveling to and from Cuba via Canada and Mexico, buying Cuban cigars in Cuba, transporting the cigars to Canada and the United States, and using the defendant home at which he lived and worked to aid and facilitate his smuggling activities. As a result, on April 7th, 1996, they stopped Mr. Connors at Detroit just after he crossed the border from Canada and seized 1,150 Cuban cigars that were in his possession, along with other incriminating information, including an import declaration listing Mr. Connors.
What would your argument amounts to? Your argument amounts to saying, well, once a person engages in smuggling, if the government doesn't, you know, bring a suit or something within 5 years, 2 years, whatever it is, then he's got a lifetime immunity from prosecution. He can keep on smuggling forever. That's your argument. That can't be right.
Well, courts have...
Well, that's your argument, right? That's your argument. Is that your argument or not your argument?
Is that your argument?
Is that your argument or not?
This particular smuggling business...
Yes. Your answer is yes.
Prosecuted.
Well, that doesn't make any sense, right?
Well...
Because it says, if I get away the first time with smuggling... I have this immunity. I can do it for the rest of my life.
Well, he started, and the government.
Well, that's your argument, right?
The argument is your argument.
He is entitled to keep on smuggling for the rest of his life.
He can be prosecuted for that.
But he can't be forced to give up any of his money, right?
Well, this they're after his house. And
so there'll never be a forfeiture, in your view, never be a forfeiture against him, because he bought this immunity from forfeiture by not having been sued within 5 years.
To be what the statute of limitations means.
That's ridiculous, right? That's ridiculous. I mean, just think it's common sense, right? Now, maybe the law is asinine. You'd have to have really compelling evidence to convince a court that this is what Congress wanted. Yeah, you smuggle. They don't nail you within 5 years, fine. You spend the rest of your life smuggling.
Well, he engaged in a course of conduct for a period of years. The government had 5 years to investigate this. They did. They monitored his every movement. They recorded his flights back and forth to Cuba. They recorded his rental
cars. They completely screwed up. But does it make sense that because they completely screwed up, he should be entitled to engage in smuggling for the rest of his life?
No, that I think is a different issue. That's a criminal issue. If he engages, continues to engage in smuggling.
I don't know how your argument would be any different if it were criminal. There are statutes of limitations for criminal offenses also.
Well, that's right. And they charged him with conspiracy and brought the case within the 5-year period.
It would be the same if it were criminal. Say, suppose there's a 5-year limitations on criminal prosecution for some act of smuggling.
Well,
then why wouldn't you be arguing that, well, okay, if he's not prosecuted within 5 years, he can never be prosecuted again? Isn't that your argument?
If he commits a new act of smuggling...
Well, he committed new acts of smuggling here.
But they were subsumed in
well,
the...
Well, why wouldn't you make the same argument in a criminal case, that the subsequent acts were subsumed in the first act?
Well, they brought the criminal case 5 years after the stop at the border. Now, in the civil case, they're asking to forfeit or seeking to forfeit his home, which the government understood in March of 1996 he was using in connection with this smuggling business. And they got this information from his wife. They were sifting through his trash.
I know, but the question is, what's the difference between criminal and civil in terms of your argument? Why would, if they missed the statute of limitations for a criminal prosecution, why wouldn't you be arguing, well, having done that, he would then be free from any criminal liability for his future smuggling?
Well, you have to... The government charged in their criminal case a conspiracy during a course of time. And so that conspiracy would be barred from further prosecution if he engaged in a new conspiracy after that period of time.
No, but suppose the government charge says you have been engaged in a continuing conspiracy to smuggle. And that's their charge, but they've missed the statute of limitations. So then the conspiracy continues, the government can't prosecute, so then he's home free, right? Isn't that your argument?
I think the difference is there's one house here. And that house was the one he was living in and working in. And they discovered in March of 1996 that he was living and working in that house and running his smuggling business?
He can use it for the rest of time to store his smuggled cigars, is your view.
After the statute of limitation, the government possessed the means. The statute of limitations has a known or should have known aspect to it. That's what the case law says.
Right. So he can continue using his house indefinitely, forever, for storing smuggled cigars.
After, the issue is whether they can take the house.
Well, if they can't take it, then he can continue using it for his restoring smuggled cigars.
Well, I think he can continue, if they can't take it, he can continue to use it for whatever purposes.
Well, including storing smuggled. That's your view is he has the right to use this house to store smuggled cigars.
I think the real issue
is your view.
The issue is whether they can take the house.
Is it not?
If he can continue
to store smuggled cigars in the house.
If the government doesn't timely...
Not if.
No.
What's the if?
If the government doesn't timely move to forfeit...
Well, it didn't. Your argument that it wasn't timely.
That's correct.
So the consequence of your argument, if we accept it, is he can continue to store smuggled cigars in the house.
He can continue to have the house if the government later discovers that he is engaging in criminal conduct. They can address that at that time. But
they can't take the house away.
Maybe they can.
How?
Later.
How?
Well, we're talking about their discovery of his use of this house. And their discovery happened on... That's correct.
My question for you was, is it not true on your view that he can continue to store smuggled cigars in the house? And I thought you were going to say, well, something might happen that would change that. But instead, you went back to your original to history.
Well, if the government fails to timely move,
Suppose next year he's still there. He's still smuggling cigars. He's still storing them in his house. Now you say, well, maybe he can be prosecuted, but can't, under your view, won't he still be able to store the smuggled cigars in his house, and the government can't seek forfeiture? Isn't that your position? Can't you answer yes or no? Is that your position?
I would say.
Is that your position?
Yes, the government could proceed against the house if they discovered a new alleged offense, and that's
alleged offense. It's still a smuggling.
Well, the statute uses the term alleged offense. So, and that's what the district court found. But that particular finding was an occurrence that happened within this five-year period, starting in March of 1996. And courts have found in similar cases that the government is barred from taking real property from the owner, claimant, when the government doesn't bring their forfeiture action within the 5 years starting from when they actually knew or should have known and possessed the means to know that he was engaged in that offense.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Dustberger. Mr. Kuhn?
May it please the court, counsel, your honors. Counsel just conceded that if Mr. Connor is engaged in some other offense after the April of 1996 seizure at the Canadian border, that the government could move against the house. And that's exactly what happened here. That's what the district court found.
Can you hold on just for a moment? Because, Mr. Kuhn, in your brief, you claim that the complaint was filed within 5 years of the discovery of the offense giving rise to the forfeiture. But Connor's indictment in the underlying criminal case specifically references the April 1996 seizure of cigars from him at the border. How then can you exclude this from the underlying offense?
Well, in this case, Your Honor, and with this offense, each instance of smuggling is its own offense. The April of 1996 offense, those cigars were found and seized, and they basically had nothing to do with Mr. Connors or the house or this case at all. That was a criminal offense that he was prosecuted for here in the Northern District of Illinois. We first learned...
Those cigars were confiscated by who?
By the United States Customs Service back in April of 96. Those cigars never made it to the house. Those cigars never made it into the United States. These cigars for which this forfeiture proceeding was brought came into the United States after that date. And we first learned of it on March the 15th of 1997, and thus the complaint was filed within 5 years of that date. And there was also a subsequent seizure in 1999, which also met the statute of limitations.
Why did you take so long to move for forfeiture? I mean, you filed your complaint a full 5 years later with only one day to spare before the statute of limitations expired.
Well, a part of it stemmed from the fact that the case was not referred to the civil division in our office till hey, after the criminal case was well underway. Also, this is a theory that is not charged all the time. It took me a little while longer to get everything ready and to get it filed, and we our target date was to beat the statute of limitations, which we did.
So the March 15th date, what happened on March 15th?
Well, on March 14th of 1997, Mr. Connors called the Skokie Police Department to say that his house had been burglarized. and he had a lot of merchandise was taken. The next day on March 15th, Mr. Connors called the Skokie Police Department again and said all his property had been returned. Two Skokie police officers went over there to make out the report, at which point Mr. Connors told him that part of the property that was returned were these many boxes of Cuban cigars.
One of the police officers happened to be Cuban, right?
Yes, there was a sergeant from Skokie who was Cuban, and they had a conversation about Cuban cigars, how they got in the country, and actually how Mr. Connors was storing them in a room he had converted to a humidor above his garage. If there are no further questions, I'll just ask that the district court be affirmed. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Kuhn. So, Mr. Dustberger, your time expired, but we'll give you another minute if you'd like.
Thank you, Your Honor. The law is that the case law is that the statute of limitations has a known or should have known standard. The should have known includes means that the government possessed the means to discover the alleged offense.
I don't think that's in dispute.
Well, they certainly possessed the means to discover.
I don't think there's any disagreement over that. I don't know why you're arguing that.
Well, beginning in March,
there was a separate offense. That's their argument. There was a separate offense, and that started the statute of limitations running on that offense. That's their whole argument.
Well, that was the argument in $550,000 worth of currency, and the court there rejected it on the grounds that a new statute of limitations doesn't start running when a later discovered offense occurs. It starts when the government knew or should have known an offense occurred and keeps running and expires.
Well, but wasn't that an offense? Is that Sixth Circuit case you're talking about?
I believe it is.
Wasn't that the offense of operating a gambling establishment or something of that sort?
I think it was.
Charged not with being a smuggler, but with a particular smuggling event.
Well, their first claim is charging him with essentially smuggling or conspiracy to smuggle.
Yes, conspiracy to smuggle, but the smuggling itself is, bringing these cigars across the border. And that's separate from operating a gambling establishment, whatever exactly that.
Well, that seems like a business. The operating a gambling establishment is a business,
he's not
and smuggling.
Charged here in the offense in issue, he wasn't charged with being in the smuggling business. He's charged with a specific shipment of smuggled goods.
No, well, there were two claims. The first claim was that he was using proceeds from his smuggling business to pay the mortgage payments
that
on the house.
That also is a discrete, offense.
No, that it wasn't, because it was over a three-year period that they alleged he paid $18,000 a year in mortgage payments from what they contended he got from his smuggling business. There were no sales of cigars that they...
For being in the smuggling business, he's prosecuted for smuggling, which means bringing, stuff across the border.
Well, no, he was prosecuted for conspiracy to smuggle. And when you read the indictment, that indictment talks about him being in a smuggling business. The government, in their complaint in the civil action, talks about him being operating a smuggling business. So he operated a smuggling business, and the smuggling business was the source, the government contends, of the proceeds that he used to pay for his mortgage and the source of the cigars that they found at the house. So it all relates to the smuggling business that he ran. That was what was charged in the indictment, essentially in the conspiracy count. And then in their civil action, this case, they had the two charges. One of them was for using proceeds from the smuggling business to pay the mortgage payments, and the other one was, finding these cigars in the house. But that goes to the statute involved, which talks about the home was used to aid or facilitate the importation, concealing, or harboring of Cuban cigars smuggled into the U.S. I mean, that's the plain, when you apply the facts to the statute.
With importing importing merchandise contrary to law, right? He was charged with that.
In which case? The criminal or the civil?
The second case.
The civil case?
Yeah.
Well, the two claims, one was a proceeds claim that he used.
Yes, I know, but isn't there a claim that he did, you know, this, isn't there a claim under 18 U.S.C. 545, smuggling?
No, it's actually a claim of under 18 U.S.C. 981A1C, which then refers to a number of statutes that can be
545.
And it mentions 545, and then it ends by saying, or conspiracy to commit, you know, one of the above.
Right.
And so in the criminal case, he was charged with the conspiracy. And that essentially is the smuggling business. And
so you think that if someone is charged with conspiracy, that embraces all the offenses committed, the other offenses committed as part of the conspiracy?
No, it just starts the statute of limitations running from the date that the government had that knowledge to charge him with the conspiracy. So
that's an amazing contention, because suppose a person is charged with a conspiracy, the government fails to prosecute within the statute of limitations, and then 10 years later, pursuant to the conspiracy, the defendant kills someone. And then you're saying he couldn't be prosecuted. Because the statute of limitations had run on the conspiracy, right? That's your argument.
No, I think that would be a separate offense.
But it's part of the conspiracy. This, when he stored the illegally imported cigars in his house, that's pursuant to his, you know, what you call being in the smuggling business. But it's the same as if the conspiracy is Murder Incorporated, and you kill people. That's all part of the conspiracy. So you're saying if they didn't bring their prosecution within the statute of limitations after the conspiracy was formed, then acts pursuant to the conspiracy or immunized from prosecution?
Well, that, you know, here...
You keep going to hear. But I'm interested in the general principle, and I think that is your argument.
I don't think that factual scenario matches the case here, because if they, in your example, if they don't charge the conspiracy, then how exactly does one say, you know, know when the uncharged conspiracy began?
No, they charged the conspiracy. They just missed the statute of limitations, right?
Well,
the case
then
is thrown out because it's clear that this conspiracy, Murder Incorporated.
And I think the government wouldn't charge it as a continuing act of the conspiracy. They would charge it as a separate act of murder.
But it would, in fact, have been part of the conspiracy. Just as smuggling can be part of a conspiracy, it can also be a separate act.
Well,
I don't see the difference.
But I don't think the act of murder would be dependent on the conspiracy, whereas here the storage of the...
It would be dependent on it. If the only reason the person was killed is that it was, you know, one of the tasks of the conspiracy to eliminate informers or something like that. Anyway, enough of that. So both counsel for their arguments. Move on to...